The following is a message of First Baptist Richardson. For more information, please visit fbcr.org.
Good morning. How are y'all? Good. I was told the last service, man, I just love just to sing sometimes. It's just good to get outside yourself and worship God. So hope y'all enjoyed that. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 10. And so for the last few weeks, we've been in this series where we have said we're abiding in Christ, trying to learn what does that mean, what does that look like, how do you do that? And so if you read John 15, which I would encourage you to do at some point, John 15 is Jesus speaking to his disciples before he goes, actually before he even dies on the cross, before he is resurrected, and he says, hey, I want y'all to bear fruit. And so when he says bear fruit, he just means anything that he's obeyed. Like, I want you to go and do those things. So just think of the list. Like, I want you to go love people, bear fruit. That's what that means. I want you to pray for people. I want you to bring the gospel. I want you to disciple. I want you to honor your father and mother. Like, whatever commandment you can think of, more or less, that's covered when he says, I want you to bear fruit. And so the funny thing is, when we think of serving, missions, bearing fruit, I think a lot of times we think of stuff we have to do, right? Like, that's, you're supposed to bear fruit. So you got to go and obey. You got to go and be intentional. And all that's true. But the way that he tells you you will bear fruit is he says, when you abide in me, when you are connected to me. So in other words, he says, hey, for you to go love people well, you got to be connected to me. For you to go disciple people, evangelize, you got to be connected to me. For you to fight sin, you got to be connected to me. Right, so for us to even make the decisions that we need to make to be empowered to do those things, we have to be connected to Jesus. And so that's huge, right? Because I think a lot of times we get caught up in the doing of things that we forget that the way we're even able to do those things is because we're connected first and foremost to Jesus. And so before we jump into this passage, that's what we want to do. We want to be connected to Jesus. So would you pray and just ask Jesus by his Spirit to speak to your heart, and then we're going to get after it. So go ahead and pray. So Jesus, would you connect us to you this morning as we listen to hopefully your voice? So would you speak to us? Would you say what you want to say and nothing less? Every thought that occupies our heart and our mind, every distraction, would you eliminate those things or pierce through and overcome those things so that we would hear from you this morning? Would you make us Jesus people? And so Holy Spirit, would you come, we just welcome you. We ask that you would be ever present, that you would be real, that you would be someone who speaks to us and not just words on a page. And we pray all of this in your son's name. Amen. All right, so if you have a Bible, you can turn there. We'll put the words on the screen. See, y'all are lucky. The first service didn't get words on the screen. But for y'all, we were like, let's put words on the screen. So Luke chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 38. This is what it says. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And so this is a pretty common story. Lots of people have heard this or read this, but I just want you to watch this. So I want you to imagine, because I want it to be more than a story. So I want you to imagine for a second that Jesus comes to your house, right? And I don't mean like back in the day, like you got to go become a first century Jew. Like, I mean today, 2019, what is today's date? February 24th? So I mean like today. Like, what if today Jesus came to your house? What would you do? Of course you freak out and do all that. I get that. But after that, like after you actually believed it, what would you do? So I don't know what you would do, but let me give you an idea of what I think would happen at my house. And my wife is here, and so she can later correct me if I'm wrong. But here's what I think is going to happen. It's going to happen is my wife is going to be like, Matt, we have to clean up, right? Like we have to clean, right? And so we're going to clean, and I probably need to make sure the bathroom's clean, because what if Jesus needs to go in there? And I have three kids, and they mess that up. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, toothpaste is everywhere. It's crazy. And so I'm going to clean the bathroom. My wife's going to clean some stuff. She's definitely going to dust. I always give her a hard time about dusting. I don't know why. But she's going to dust. Now, here's what I want you to hear. When I say those things, it's slightly comical. Like, I know some of you are not laughing at all. But some of you, it's like slightly comical, right? But here's my guess. You would probably be doing some of the same things, would you not? Right? Like, you would be dusting. You would be doing the laundry. You'd be cleaning the bathroom. Like you would do those things. Why? Because a super important person's coming to your house. Like, it's just what you do, right? Like, you don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to whatever. You want him to feel honored and all that good stuff, right? So that's what you do. But then, you know what else would happen? Is then me and my wife, we would figure out, like, oh, like, what does Jesus need? Like, does he want water? Like, somebody ask him, what does he want to drink? Let's get him some sweet tea. Let's get him some biscuits, right? That's a good Southern hospitality thing. Like, what do we do? And then if he's with his group, his disciples, then we're going to get them stuff. Like, we want everyone to feel comfortable. So that's what we're going to do. And then my kids, they're probably just going to giggle. Macy, what are you going to do? What would you do if Jesus came to our house? You don't know? She's six. I just wanted to see what she would say. Okay. So, like, this is what would happen, right? So this is the scene. Jesus goes into this woman named Martha's house. And Martha, it just says, man, she just gets crazy busy serving. Now, when I read that, part of that makes sense to me, right? Because of what I just said. Like, you have normal people come to your house and you do that kind of stuff. So if Jesus comes, you're for sure doing those things. So that makes sense to me. But I want you to watch what happens. So look at verse 39. It says, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. So watch the difference between these two. You got Martha, who's like serving, getting everyone's drink order, trying to make sure everything's clean and everything's good, because she wants Jesus and his disciples to feel good and comfortable. And then you got Mary, right? I kind of wish I knew Mary. I don't know what she's like, but I just picture Mary, who's just like, she's probably a little bit like of a bratty sister and just like, whatever, Martha, right? And like, she's like, I'm just hanging with Jesus. Like, I don't know if she's lazy. I don't know what she's like, but like in my head, I think Mary's just cool, right? And so Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. Now, I want you to watch this. I don't know if you grew up, if you had sisters. I had three older sisters. My girls have sisters. This is like such a typical sister conversation. So watch. Watch what happens in verse 40. It says, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. So in other words, right, like this is her most polite way of saying, Jesus, my sister is so, what is she doing? Like, so annoying. She's just sitting at your feet as if, like, stuff doesn't have to get done, right? So she's like, Jesus, would you please tell this woman to come help me serve? Now, here's what I don't want you to miss. Two important things. Number one, I want you to notice the text said that Martha was distracted. So then you have to ask, well, what was she distracted by? She was distracted by the serving, right? So the implication of being distracted means that there's something that should hold my attention. There's something that's a priority, but I'm busy with something else, right? And so in other words, she's saying, Jesus is like, man, there's something much bigger going on here, and yet you're busy serving. That's a distraction. Now, here's my question. Do you think she was doing anything sinful in that moment? Probably not. Right? Like, I don't know about you, but I'm for sure on my best behavior if Jesus is at my house. So it's not like she was sinning, right? She's doing good things. She's serving in good ways. And yet, the text says that those serving things that she was doing was a distraction from the main thing. So then what was the main thing? You tell me, what was the main thing? Jesus. The main thing was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him. Now, that's not a new revelation to you, right? Like, everyone knows. We get the gist of the story, right? Like, you don't need me to preach this. So here's my question. What are you distracted with? Like, have you ever thought that maybe all these good things you got going in your life, leading Bible study if you do that, going to Sunday school if you do that, trying to be good at your workplace, like whatever your things are, have you ever thought maybe that's a distraction from the main thing? Like for real, because notice, she was doing good things. None of it was bad. It was all good stuff. And Jesus, more or less, the text says, it's a distraction. And so I just want to pose the question. Are you filling your life with good things that are distraction from the main thing? Because that's what Martha was doing. And Mary just sits there and she listens at the feet of Jesus. And then I love the way Martha just assumes that Jesus is going to say, no, the best thing right now would be to serve me. So Mary, get up and go serve. Like she just assumes that Jesus would want Mary to be serving him. So I'm going to tell you something you and I already know, but I think we all need to be reminded. Jesus does not need you to serve him. He just doesn't, right? Like today, Jesus, I know he doesn't wake up, right? But Jesus does not wake up today and say, oh, I really hope Matt preaches this morning. I really need him to get in there and do that. I hope it's good. Jesus doesn't need me. Jesus doesn't need you. Jesus doesn't need you to teach what you teach, say what you say, go. He doesn't need you, right? And that's not like a mean, bad thing. It's just we need to reorient ourselves. See, I think some of us, we're serving Jesus because we're either trying to earn something from him or we actually have the audacity to think he needs us. He don't need you. He doesn't need me. What am I going to give the person who made all things? The Bible says he holds all things together right now. What am I possibly going to give him? Nothing. Now, once again, that's not a bad thing. If anything, that should change my perspective to say, man, I'm grateful that I get to do what I get to do. The fact that you and I get to participate in the work of Jesus Christ in the world, that's a privilege and an honor, but it is not a necessity. And so I don't want you to miss this. As much as you and I should go and serve and do X, Y, and Z and do all these good things, as much as we should do that, the reality is that is not the main thing. The main thing is not your mission trip. The main thing is not going to Sunday school class or teaching a Bible study. That's not the main thing. The main thing is what Mary did. So what did she do? What'd she do? You tell me. She just sat at his feet and listened. And she just listened. So then let me ask you this question. When's the last time you just hung out with Jesus to just listen to him? Because I love that it says that she listened. She didn't say, hey, Jesus, so glad you're here. Check this out, man. I got this long list of prayer requests. Hold on one second. Yeah. And just start going through it. She didn't do that. She didn't say, hey, man, Jesus, like I've had all these crazy questions. Like when my dog dies, does it go to heaven? Like, I'm just so curious, right? She doesn't do that. She just sits and she just listens. So I don't know if you're like me, but I think I talk too much to Jesus. I'm being for real. Like, in my prayer life, like, in fact, I'll be real, real. I don't even think you're praying unless you're talking, right? Like, the very definition of prayer to me is I'm talking. Like, I just talk too much to him. I think we as a church, sometimes we talk a lot about him or we talk a lot to him, but we don't just sit and listen. I heard a dude say this one time, you can tell how popular God is at your church by how much people pray. I would say you can tell how popular God is to you by how much you listen. See, I listen to the people I think have something to say. I listen to people I think I care about. I listen to people who are important. So I wonder if that means if I don't listen to him, how important do I think he really is? So how much do you and I just listen? And now, don't get me wrong, I think the reason why I don't listen is because I actually, and this is going to sound crazy, I think I actually struggle to believe that he's as good and as great and as awesome as the Bible says he is. Because is that not an audacious thing? So, like, watch this. Watch what his response is to Martha. Verse 41. It says, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Just one. So then you have to ask the question, well, what is she worried about? What is she anxious about? So just brainstorm with me. We're going to use our Holy Spirit-filled imagination, right? So we're going to participate. Tell me, what do you think this woman is worried and anxious and troubled about? Just throw out some ideas. Sweat? Food prep, right? She didn't have enough time to prep it all before he got there. She's running late, and Mary wasn't no help. Okay, what else? What else is she anxious and troubled about? Impressing Jesus, inviting other people? Is that what you said? Yeah, inviting other people, impressing Jesus. What else? Say it again. Her sister, right? Like she's over here just worried about what she's doing. Again. Okay, what else? Give me one more. Yeah, I love that. I think that's probably so true because a lot of times it's easy to kind of hate on Martha. But like, how many times have you been in a situation where you're like, yeah, I want to do that, but I ain't got time. I got to do A, B, C, D, and E, and then I can go do that and be with Jesus. Of course I want to be with Jesus, but I got to, right? So then listen to his response. He says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about not just some things, but many things. But he says, but there's just one thing. It's not the food prep. It's not inviting people. It's not impressing me. It's not being worried that you're not there. There's just one thing that's necessary. So for a second, like take off your like, I'm a good Christian hat and just put on your normal person hat. Is that not the most audacious thing you could ever say to someone? Like imagine I come to your house, I hang out with you and you're like doing what you do and I'm just like, hey, 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 oh, Ben, check it out. The most important thing to do right now is just chill and hang out with me, bro. Like all that other stuff, like it's about me. Do you not realize that? Like would you not be like, get out of my house. Like I don't even want to hang out with you, right? So then how can Jesus say something of such arrogance that there's only one thing that's necessary, right? So how can he say that? So we could give a ton of different examples, but how is it that listening to Jesus is the most necessary thing? Let me just give you three. Let me give you a very well-known verse. You probably heard it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when he says, I am the way, what does he mean? He says, I'm the way to God the Father. There's not a man, woman, child on the face of this planet that can have a relationship with God, that can know God and get to heaven without belief in Jesus. There's no other way. Now, if it was just that, wouldn't you say, if that's actually true, then of course, there's only one necessary thing to do. If that's the only way I have peace with God or know God, then I should for sure just sit and listen to this Jesus. But then just say that. He says, I'm not just the way, but then he says, I'm the truth. That the truth is not a concept or an idea or opinion. The truth is a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. So if the truth is the person of Jesus Christ, then wouldn't that make sense to say, yeah, no other truth makes sense outside of his revelation or the knowledge of who he is or his personhood. Wouldn't that make sense that he says, yeah, there's only one necessary thing if he's the truth? And then I love the last one, but he doesn't just say he's the way, the truth, but then he says, I'm the life. Like I've came to give you eternal life, quantity, and both quality. I've come to improve your life, to give you abundant life, to set you free, to give you good gifts. So wouldn't we think, of course, if he's the way, the truth, and the life, of course, nothing else matters. All things pale in comparison to just sitting at his feet. You want to know why I know I don't really believe that? Because I wake up some days and I say, oh man, like I can get to Jesus later. Like whether I start with him or not, like as long as I get there. And then if I don't get there, you know what I say? Well, it's fine. Like I have tomorrow. But if there's just one necessary thing, right? Like just real talk. If I come home one day and my wife says, hey, there's one thing necessary for you to do today. Guess what I'm going to do? Whatever she says, right? Why? Because there's one thing that matters. All these other things are peripheral. All these other things are inconsequential. And so I know I struggle with this because I don't put him first. I don't see that it's just him listening to him as the only necessary thing. So then I want to ask this question. What's more necessary in your life than listening to Jesus? Now, I know your temptation is to say nothing. But no, I want you to just go through the list. What are the things that you put before Jesus? Not necessarily in how your heart feels, but in your time. Because what you spend your time and your money on reveals your heart. So what do you spend most of your time on? What do you spend most of your money on? Those are the things that you think are more necessary than Jesus. Those are the things that I think are more necessary than Jesus. And his whole point is, there's just one thing. One thing that's necessary. So watch this. Verse 42, he says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. See, the funny thing about the stuff we busy our lives with is there's always more to be done, isn't there? Like, no matter how much you clean the house, you got to go back and clean it again. No matter how much you hang out with the kids and try to raise your kids, you got to do that more. Right? Then no matter how much you go to your job, you put in good work, you work hard, like you got to go again tomorrow. And the next day, like there's no end to our list. And a lot of that list almost makes no difference whether or not we really do it. Now, not everything, but a lot of it, right? Like at the end of the day, whether I clean my house or not, like it's good to clean, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, that really doesn't matter, right? Like it doesn't change much of anything for me. There's so many just frivolous things I fill my time with. Like, it really doesn't matter whether or not I finish that Netflix series, right? Like, I'm super curious what happens, right? But it doesn't really matter. And so his point is this. The one, Mary, like, the portion she has, like, if she were to never listen to me again, just in that, that's not going to be taken away from her. Because she's always going to have what I told her. She's always going to have what I gave her. You're always going to have whatever Jesus does in your life. And if you want Jesus to do more, it requires you to sit at his feet and listen. And then I love that it makes this very obvious. It says Mary has chosen. She's chosen. She made a decision. She could have done the food prep. She could have been concerned with a lot of other details. Now, I don't know how she came to that choice. Like, this is where I want to be really honest. Because I think sometimes we over-spiritualize people. Like, for all I know, Mary did it because she felt like she had to earn something. For all I know, Mary did it because she's super lazy and she doesn't like to clean, right? Like I don't know her motivation. The motivation, can I just be honest? Your motivation to sit at the feet of Jesus really is irrelevant. See, that's the problem. Some of us, we don't choose to sit at the feet of Jesus because we're waiting to have this God holy feeling. Oh, I need to do it with the right motive. Oh man, I need to feel like it. I don't feel like it today. Man, she just made a decision. She said, no matter what else is going on, I'm going to choose to sit and listen to Jesus. And in doing so, he says she has the good portion. And that portion will never be taken away from her. So my last question to you is, what's taking your time away from choosing Jesus? Like, what's keeping you from just making that choice to just spend more time sitting and listening to Jesus? Because we all have a list. But he says there's just one thing, just one, that's necessary. Now, you should really be asking the question, what in the world does that have to do with serving? Right? Because we started by saying God wants us to bear fruit. There's all these things he wants us to do. So what does listening to Jesus have anything to do with what he wants us to do? So can I just ask the most obvious of questions? How do you know what Jesus wants you to do if you haven't listened to him? Right? Like, we've all made this mistake, especially if you've been a Christian for a while. We've all just gone out and just done something because we thought it's what we were supposed to do, right? Well, of course Jesus wants me to give this due money. I'm going to do that. Of course God wants me to go work here or go on that trip or teach that class or do whatever. I just want to challenge that. How do you know that? If you're not listening to Jesus, how do you know what he wants you to do? Because once again, Martha's doing good things. She could have easily said, What are you talking about? It's good to serve Jesus. It's good to put out food. It's good and loving to be hospitable. Those are good things. Of course Jesus wants me to be good that way. Of course Jesus wants me to be nice like that. Well, according to this text, he said, no, Martha, I actually don't want you to do any of those things. You would have known that had you sat down and listened to me. So what's keeping you from choosing to listen to Jesus? So how do you know what he wants you to do? How do you know where he wants you to go? How do you even know how to do what he wants you to do? Because see, a lot of us will ask the first question, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And we'll get an answer, but then we're done. We go out in our power and our strength. But what if he wants you to do it a certain way? How does he want you to do that thing? So this is the thing that me and Jesus are working on. So like, I know I should love people, but if I'm being honest with you, I don't really know what that means. Like, outside of being nice to you, I don't know what that means. And so it's not enough for me just to know, well, the Bible says I should love you. I got to know, how do I love you? Like, in certain situations, what does that look like? And the only way I know that is, once again, not just to know I'm supposed to love people, but then to go back to them and say, now, how do I do that? Empower me to do that. But all of that happens, our serving happens when we listen to Jesus. What if we got so busy doing things for Jesus, we actually missed Jesus? There's a really haunting verse, and with this I'll be done. There's a really haunting verse in Revelation. Revelation, he's writing these different letters to the churches. So when he says to the churches, he means Holy Spirit-filled believers. And so I think it's Revelation 3, he writes this letter to the church of Laodicea. He talks about some stuff that they are not doing well. But then he says this. He says, I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will dine with you. Now, the reason why that's so haunting is because he's writing to the church. So if he's writing to the church and he tells them he's at the door knocking, the implication is he's not in the church. No, but wait a second. I thought the church was filled with Holy Spirit believers. It is. That don't necessarily mean Jesus is there. How do you know Jesus has not said that to us? See, sometimes I think we get so caught up in doing what we think Jesus wants us to do, we done miss Jesus. You know what scares me more than anything else? It's not doing things for Jesus. It's doing things for Jesus without Jesus. I think part of the problem is we think that just sitting and listening to Jesus is lazy or unnecessary. But Jesus' point is, it's the only thing that's necessary. He is the answer to all things. So here's how I want to close. What I do love about this church, whether we accomplish it or not, the verdict's still out. But I know the heart of the leadership is that we would help people to really have Jesus. Not to have the Bible or religion or church, but to really have Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we're successful in that, but I'm saying that is our heart. And so usually what that means is if we want you to have Jesus, we got to get out of his way. And we got to not put him in a box of how he's going to show up. So we're going to do this for 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. And I know some of you will hate it because you don't like silence. Some of you will hate it because you're not sure how to listen to Jesus. It don't matter. Just try it. So for 5 minutes, the band will come and they'll play just so it'll drown out the noise a little bit. But I just want you to ask Jesus one thing. Say, Jesus, what do you want to tell me? Now, I really want you to ask it that generically because a lot of times we go to Jesus with something very specific. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes if I go with a specific question, what if he doesn't want to talk to me about that? So I'm so consumed with hearing what I want to hear that I might miss his voice. So let's just be, I think it was Samuel, and just say, God, I'm listening. What do you want to say? And let's spend 5 minutes just trying to hear from Jesus, and then I'll come close out our time together. Father, Help us to know and believe there's only one necessary thing, and that's to hear Jesus. There's a lot of good things we can do, and that is good, but it's not good if you haven't told us to do it. So Jesus, would you speak clearly to us? Would you break through the noise and the silence and the fears and the anxieties of our heart, and would you just help us to listen? And even if you don't say a word, may just the practice of listening to your voice do a work in our hearts. So Jesus, please speak. Father, would you become the one necessary thing that we need to do with our time? Would you graciously help us to prioritize you above all things? By no means is that a lazy thing. By no means is that like we're not going to do anything, because some of those things that you're teaching us will be what to do and how to do it and where to do it. And I pray for people in the room, God, that they find themselves anxious and worried about so many things. Would you help them just to know, man, if they would press into you, it may not turn out the way they want it. It may not happen how they think it should happen. But none of those things are ultimately necessary. That our to-do list is not necessary. But you are. Jesus, would you inhabit us as a congregation, as a people, as a church, that we would not be like Laodicea. That we would welcome you into our lives every day. Not just when we gather, but every day. And then would you send us out to do whatever it is you want us to do. Not because we're earning anything, not because you need us, but because it's our privilege to serve you. So Lord, we love you. We pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.